Okay, so we're going to finish up talking about Hachakas because of Shaivivim. So we did two already on Hachakas, and I think we left off with this last halach in the Ramah about whether you're allowed to go on trips with your wife when she's in Nida. So the whole shaila on how to learn the Ramah, is the Ramah really just talk? Is he just nervous about sitting on a bench together, like in that you'll be feeling each other like on a shaky bench? Which the Ramah really is saying that right after his halacha about sitting on a shaky bench.
What does that have to do with the trip?
Oh, right. So really, it has nothing to do with the trip. It's just that it happens to be that on trips, it can be. I guess in those days where they had a wagon, so you'd be feeling every movement. So that would be the issue.
Call us nowadays, you know.
Right, so I mean, so the car, yeah, I mean, the car might be a little different, but yeah, the same idea. That is that the problem, or is the problem? Or is the problem? The problem is going out on vacations. You shouldn't be taking vacations. You shouldn't be taking pleasurable trips together during this time. So, Ramosha, seemed to say that it's he learned the Ramah that Ramah is just worried about being on a shaky bench together. So, according to Ramosha, it would seem that it's mutter to take trips together, you know, tiulim together. And again, most of this, like, we find a lot of times the place we talk about is really depends on the person, depends on what, you know, on the couple's relationship, what they feel, and, you know,
just
what a trip's going to be. So, I heard a gather from one of the big Paiskim, that he says, this is when I was in Baltimore, by the way, last week. So I was talking to somebody about this. He said that he heard from a big paisik that his getter was that you're not allowed to take a trip with no reason at all. You're not allowed to just say, let's just go on a walk because we don't feel like doing anything else. Let's just take a walk. So that's what he says, that's why he's matter vacations. Because vacations, you're going for a reason. You're going to have a vacation. But he said, if there's no reason, b'chlal, there's no reason at all why you're taking a walk, you just want to go out together for no reason at all? He said, that's the problem. That would be a problem. That's what his getter was. So again, you know, Ramayisha doesn't seem that it's a problem. I think it really depends mostly on you know,
sounds
what
like
you're doing. What?
Sounds like he's more matched with Ramayisha.
Yeah, Ramayisha seems to be learning the Ramah like that it's just a problem with shaky bench. So he doesn't really talk too much about, you know, what type of vacations would be a problem. But obviously, I mean, obviously the vacations that would be a problem are the vacations that, you know, that if you never take these type of vacations, you're going away for a whole romantic trip, so then that would be an issue. But if you're just going out to eat because you never see each other, you never talk to each other because you're so busy, that's a different thing. You know, you want to just talk to each other. So that wouldn't be a problem. Okay, so we gotta get through a bunch of halachas here, so let's just, we'll plow right through. So the next halacha was that lo yistakel afilu ba'akeva. You're not allowed to stare at even her heel. The loy mekaymis amechusin shabbat, and not her mekaymis that are mechusa. So it's a very interesting lashon. First of all, the lashon is lo yistakel, you should not stare. And then there he mentions even the akeva. What's even the akeva? And akeva is her heel, the heel. So some say the reason why the mechaber said the lashon of a heel is because a heel is not such an attractive area. But still, you're not allowed to stare at it if it's going to give you hana. So he says that's why I chose akeva. And then also, v'lo mekaymis hamachusin shabbos. So what's mekaymis hamachusin? And before we just get to that, the Rama says that it's mutter to stare b'mekaymis hagluyim, the places that she normally always has, like her hands, the places that she always has not covered. So those places that you're allowed to stare at, even if it gives you hana. But mekaymis hamachusin. So what's mekaymis hamachusin? That's the shaila. So kipshutai, and I heard this gather is that what's considered mekaymis hamachusim is the same as mekaymis hamachusim when it comes to kriyishma. There's hilchus kriyishma in Aruch Chaim where it talks about are you allowed to say kriyishma if your wife has her hair uncovered or certain things, you know, are you allowed to say kriyishma in that way? So they say whatever some paiskim say that it's whatever gather is considered mekaymis hamachusim when it comes to kriyishma. So whatever you're not allowed to say kriyishma, so for example, let's say you're here. Your hair is always a big shiloh here. Everyone gets very busy with the hair. Is the hair a problem? Huh?
I mean, Malcolm Harvey would be awesome.
Well, for sure. Yeah, for sure, Malcolm Harvey. Yeah, absolutely. So, but...
Well, even
Harris. Harris. What?
Harris
Erva. Harris Erva. Yeah, absolutely. Harris Erva. So for Kriya Shema, here's a problem. So this is... Ramosh really has a tshuva about this. Ramosh has a tshuva about it here specifically. But Mekaymus HaMachosim generally is that things that she generally covers. Things that she generally covers is Mekaymus HaMachosim. So Ramosh says is that this gather of places that she generally covers, what about if in her house she doesn't cover certain areas? She walks around her house... Outside, she's very careful to cover a lot of areas, but inside, she's not as careful because it's just her husband. Her husband's a lot of seer. So, in her house, let's say, so Ramosha has a tshuva specifically when talking about here. And he says that if it's normal for an Isha to uncover her here in her house, so that's not considered a Mekayim HaMachusim, and therefore she would not have to cover it during the Eidah. L'maisa, there is a. There is a halacha, Mishabruah, in Ayin Hay, in Arachayim, that says that Avada and Isha should cover her hair inside her house. She should do it. He brings down from the Magen Avraham that he says that she should be covering her hair, and if she does, then she should be covering her hair also when she's in need, to make sure that, you know, he's not looking at that, at her hair. Okay, so that's the next halacha. The next halacha says like this, that she should have specific begadim that are set aside for her yamei nidas. So when she's in nida, she should have specific begadim that she wears when she's in nida, that she should, in order for her to remember, and for both of them to remember that she's in nida. So it just helps everybody remember, right? She always knows that she wears that shirt when she's in nida, so then you'll know. So it used to be that everybody knew when everybody was nidas, because everybody knew when everybody had the begadim that they would wear when they were nidas, and everybody knew. There's actually a big shaila, we're not going to get to obviously this time, but there's a big shaila of, let's say a lady is upset at her husband. And so, two cases. Let's say she's upset, so she tells her husband, I'm a nida, because she's upset at him. So that's one shaila. And there, it's really a problem. And that's why I think that during college classes they tell her that even if you're very upset at your husband, don't say that because you can be really getting into problems. So don't say that. But let's say she goes a step weiter. She's so upset at him that she's not only going to say that, but she's going to act like it, and therefore she's going to put on these begadim. And she puts on these begadim, and she walks out into the city like, oh, you know, and then she goes and sits by her work, or his work or whatever, and makes sure that he sees her wearing these begadim, because she's upset at him. So that's even a worse case. That child is even worse, because she's actually not just saying it, but she's actually going out and doing a maisa of wearing these clothing. But it used to be that...
Does that actually do anything halachically?
Yeah, it's a real issue. It's not. It's a real problem if she does this. And that's why they
don't have the clothes nowadays. So
that's the thing. So bizman is that really people don't have like their specific robe or whatever it is that they wear. But it doesn't have to be, and this is what the Paiskim Bismarazah talk about, that even though nowadays, you know, most ladies don't do this, but it doesn't have to be like a whole outfit. It can be one little
t-shirt
thing. It can be whatever, one little part of her clothing. It doesn't have to be like, I wear all these clothing when I'm in Nida, or I wear this robe or this thing, you know. It can be something small, even. It can be like, you know, maybe she has, a bracelet or something. There's something that she only wears and she's nida, will just help her remind you can be mekayim this halacha. So that's what they say, you know, if it's easy for her, if she's got a lot of clothing and she can, you know, not do it discreetly, so it's not, you know, why not?
I don't know if they do, they don't.
Most people don't, most, not that I'm aware of, don't do it, but if you can find a way to do it, it can be mekayim this halacha. It's very nice. Okay, then the next halacha says that, what about, is she allowed to put on makeup and perfume? Okay, so the next halacha says that b'kayshi hetirula lehiskashet b'mei nidasa ela kedei shalei tizgana el bala. B'kayshi, the rabbanon were like stuck. It was b'kayshi that they had to be matir wearing makeup lehiskashet. Hiskashet normally means just to, you know, wear makeup and that type of thing. And why? Why were they matir? That's something that they shouldn't have been matir. says because she liked his gana al bailo, which is very important. We don't want her husband to have, you know, be disgusted by her. So if she doesn't wear, you know, any makeup or, you know, make herself look as disgusting as possible, he's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be good for the relationship. So there, because she here to you, I heard a shayla, is she allowed to wear perfume, right? So we saw already before the Pesach Shuvi talks about that he should not be nana from smelling her. But some women feel that, you know, they're not completely dressed unless they have some perfume on. So Lamaisa, the Paiskim are matter, and I heard this hatter, that the matter that if she wants to put on a little bit of perfume because she doesn't feel like she's a person without it, so then it's fine. Just don't wear as much as you normally do. Just put on a little bit and then you're okay. And obviously you as the husband should not be trying, you know, should not be going to smell it. If you enjoy it, you should, you know, try not to, you know, be nana from it. So the shayla really, and Shlomo loves the shayla. Shayla really is that let's say he is completely fine with her not wearing any perfume or any makeup or anything like that.
But she wants.
So here it's but no, because here they're matter it because shleit is gan al baila. You should know the Aruch HaShulchan has a whole like psychological type of thing here about. Would people rather that when their wives are needed that they don't dress up or that they don't look all good, or would they rather them not look good? The whole thing that he says is really tally on the person. You know, a lot of this stuff is tally on the person. But let's say you have a person who's completely fine. He tells, listen, you know, our relationship is much deeper than your looks. And, you know, as long, you know, I completely don't mind if you don't wear any makeup. Is she allowed to wear makeup, and does she have to wear makeup? So, this is really it's a tshuva that's brought down, and they talk about like this, that there's a story in the Gemara in Tainus that Abba Chelke Bar Brei the Chani Amagel. So this person who was the grandson of Chani Amagel, so they asked him, how come when we reached your city, your wife comes out, you know, all dressed up, looking very, very nice.
I'm assuming she had the cousin of.
So, it's not clear here, but the Gemara says because he answers because so that I won't look at anybody else. Like I'll see her and then shli etain einav eisha acheres. So the question is like this: even if you don't care, I don't care, but maybe she has a responsibility to make sure that. You know, that even if she doesn't care about me, but maybe I have to make sure that he's not looking at anybody else. So therefore he has to. So it's a shayla and some, there is another halacha, there's another tshuva that's brought down that, not tshuva, this is Avos Reb Nosson, that fakeret, that the more a woman makes herself unattractive during nida is hareza meshubach.
Unattractive specifically?
Yeah, specifically. That's Avos Reb Nosson.
So how do you stim?
Yeah, exactly. No, so exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So that's what they're busy with, trying to, you know, make sure all these gemara stim. But so you see these type of concepts again. But you know, whatever is necessary, she can wear, and she shouldn't obviously overdo it.
But it okay. It's all really, and it seems to be it's for him at the end of the day.
Maybe right. It's very a lot of the stuff is totally in him. They, you know, but there is a concept of that even if he doesn't care, maybe she should make sure that, you know, that he still has eyes for her, that, you know, that he's not going to be looking other places. Okay, then the next halacha is that any malachas that kol malachas sheisha aisa lebaila nida aisa le, anything that a wife generally does, let's say she cooks for you and she cleans the house for you, all these things that she does for you, she's still allowed to do for you, even though it makes you very happy. You come home and your house is all clean, it makes you very happy, you're menuchadik. So still, she's allowed to do it, because that's just the normal things that she's doing. It's not like an extra chiba that she's doing it, except there's certain things. So one of the things is that she's not allowed to pour you a cup of a drink in front of you. And so the way that it says that she's not allowed to pour a drink for you and put it in front of you to eat it, unless there's some sort of hacker. So the two famous hakeirim is that if she's right-handed, she does it with her left hand. And there's a shayla, is she allowed to And then we're talking about putting in front of you, right? So she makes the food in the kitchen. Now she's praying. She wants to give you your plate. So if she's not allowed to put it right in front of you the way that she always does. That's an extra mice of chiba. So what should she do? She should use her other hand. So it's a little, you know, you can tell it's not as, there's a hacker going on. She's not as natural. Or there's another thing, is that you don't put it directly in front of him. So the two obvious aces is that she uses her other hand. If she's a right hand, then she uses her left hand. If she's left hand, she uses her right hand. Or she just puts it not in front of you, she puts a little bit on the side. An interesting shayla I saw is that is she allowed, and you're not allowed to pour, fill up his cup, right? So you find this a lot, you know, if you're something to be careful. If you're in public, sometimes it's natural just to fill up the other person's cup. So, you know, you have to fill up your own cup. Is she allowed to fill up your cup, or are you allowed to fill up her cup with your left hand, if you're righty? So you look a little clumsy doing it. Are you allowed to do that? So that's a shayla. Do you need two things here? Is it that the fun of is a problem? You know, I'll do it in front of him, and no matter what, if you're doing a hacker, or are you allowed to do it as long as there's as long as you're doing some sort of hacker, are you allowed to do it? Okay, so this is for putting a cup of water. That's what the Mechaber is talking about. The Nisei Kalim say it's also the same thing with food, and they also the hat they also hear about is a serving plate. A serving plate you're allowed to put in front of your husband because it's not just for him; it's for the whole table. So even though he's going to take first. And his favorite piece is sitting right in front of him. Still, that's there's no problem with that b'chlal. Another shayla here is what about a drink that's not chashev? So is this only talking about like chashev of food, like a whole, you know, I made a whole plate for you with the chicken and the potatoes and everything is like very nice, or let's say a cup of water, like, you know, what type of chiba is there by giving you a cup of water? I don't know if I said water. But the Mechaber doesn't, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about what type of drink we're using here. We're using so just regular water is the shayla. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to do regular water. And also, here's another shayla. So let's say the drink is not finished. Let's say she put black coffee in front of you and then put the cream and the sugar in front of you also so that you'll have to finish off the drink. Is it only a fartiga drink where it's ready to be drunk, and that's the chiba, that's the ma'isa chiba, because she's giving you a drink ready to go. Or, is it no, anything. So, this I heard already Haterim. I just asked this yesterday also to the Detroit Dayan, who said that it's no problem. You can put water, he was back and forth about, but coffee for sure said is mutter. Same would be, by the way, if hot water in a tea bag. So instead of putting a tea, she can give you hot water and she can put a tea bag next to it and, you know, you can do it yourself. Again, it's not a finished product. So
you say it's okay to put the whole thing together in front of them?
The whole thing, you're allowed, what do you mean? Like, if the drink is ready.
Is coffee ready to drink, you can't do that in front of them?
No. You know, a coffee is a chash of a drink, so you're not allowed to do that. But if you're allowed to put coffee, if let's say, you know that, she knows that he likes to add milk. So she's allowed to put coffee that needs milk added. And if let's say he likes sugar, so he's going to have to finish up making the drink. So it's not considered chiba. It's like, you know, he still has to do the work.
What about just putting a cup of black coffee in front of him and that's all he's going to drink?
Yeah, so that's a problem. He's
got to add something to it for it to be much of that.
Right, right. Okay, so that's that halacha. Then the next halacha is that she's not allowed, certain things that she's not allowed to make the bed. She's not allowed to, the loch is asula hatzia mitasa b'fanav. You're not allowed to be, like, set up the bed for him.
Just in front of him,
though. In front of him, yeah, b'fanav, obviously in front of him. Now, even if he knows, let's say you go to a place where you're staying, and you're going to have to make the bed, and, it's not a problem. As long as it's not in front of you, it's okay. It's not a problem. Now, I've heard in the past that this goes for any part of making the bed. That if it's putting on the sheet, putting the pillowcase and the pillow in the pillowcase, that's a problem. So you have to get out of the room. On the other hand, I heard also more mekilim is that because the Mechaber says a heter here that anything that's not chiba, it's just a tircha, right? It's, okay, we got to make this bed. Let's say the quilt cover. In the quilt and the quilt cover, right? So is that a chiba? That's annoying, and you don't want to do it, so you're making your wife do it, or you know, she's happy to do it. But the point is that it's a tircha. It's not a chiba. It's nobody wants to do it, and she's going to be stuck the one doing it.
Is your not allowed to do it together?
You're not allowed to do it together, yeah. Sure. That you're not
that's true
to
about putting linens on the bed, too. Nobody wants to.
Oh, so that's the shiloh. So really, so that's the shiloh. So I heard already, I spoke to Abasha yesterday about this. Because, you know, I heard both things. I said, what do you hold? So he said that everything is considered a tircha, putting the sheets on the bed and putting the pillowcase. So that, she's allowed to do in front of you. The only thing that she's not allowed to do is if it's like, you know, once everything's on, you know, preparing it for you, like, you know, maybe opening up the cover and flattening out the pillow and, you know, that already, that he said, that's considered ma'isachiba, but everything else, he basically was matter.
It doesn't make a difference
it is. Doesn't make a difference. As long as it's befunov, it's a problem.
Everything that was dealing with the water, with the drinks, that all those cases that you specifically said were the wife doing it for the husband.
Oh, yeah, so it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter.
Both ways?
Yeah, it goes both ways for the husband to the wife and the wife to the... Benegeya, putting food in front of you and pouring, filling up each other's drinks. Okay, the next thing is that she's not allowed, and this is an interesting lashon, asura litzayk loimayim lirchayz panav yad v'ragov. She's not allowed to pour water for you to wash your panav yad v'ragov. So the shah is, what does this mean?
Putting on the shower for you?
So what does this mean? Asur litzayk leimayim. So it's an interesting lashon, litzayk leimayim. So the Taz is very busy with this lashon, and the Shach learns that this means she's not allowed to prepare water for you. So she's not allowed to bring you water to wash your hands with, or if she's not allowed to open up the faucet, fill up the cup for you, right, and for you to wash your hands. That's how the Shach learns. The Taz has a real problem with this. The Taz says that the lashon of litzayk, that doesn't sound like it's talking about just filling up water. He says that that litzayk means that she's not allowed to actually pour on your hands the water because she's not touching you. She's just pouring water on your hands. So that's what we're telling you the problem is, that this is the chiddush. The chiddush is not preparing water for you. You're allowed to prepare water.
I thought already. Why is that even a chiddush? Why did you know? It seemed to be before that anything that she has one end and she's
going to... So let's say passing things to each other, right?
Right.
So even if a stick's very long, we said that she's not a passing...
It's different. It's not my
she's not even allowed to throw something to you, the Pesach Chuba says. So here, what about this thing? So I mean, so this Taz, I will tell you that this Taz has a lot... Does a lot of... there's a ripple effect from this Taz, how we can be makel in certain things. And by the way, remember we spoke about if you get a kibud of kvater, right? So we said the pasha says is that you, how is she supposed to do? She's not on a handy thing. So how to do kvater? So some pasha says you're not because you're passing. Even if you have two pillows or three pillows or four pillows, it doesn't matter because she's passing you the baby and you're taking it from her. So, but some say they want to use this taz. And I want to say that you see that the only problem here is when you're pouring water. There's a special chiva for rechitza panav yad v'ragla, special chiba. But just passing the baby by a kvater, when she's not really handing it to you, she's just standing there and you're taking it from her pillow that's on top of each other. She says, people use this taz to be mater. You know, so this taz, I mean, it's not just this taz. People use other, but this is a taz like that.
That's
people,
a terrible thing.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that. Then there's an interesting halacha that he says that, remember we spoke about the first time, the first thing that we said when we started hachakas was that when is hachakas negeah? Is it negeah, let's say, when she has a kesem? Is it only negeah when she's a full-fledged nida? Is it negeah when Zion Nikim? Is she negeah yemavat? When's it negeah, when's it not negeah? So we said that it's negeah always. Anytime that she has a shiloh, whether there's a nida, then hachakas have to be night. So that's what the Mechaber here says in Sif Yudalad. That all these achakas, it has to be, it doesn't matter whether she's a nida or whether it's Zayin Nikim. All these achakas apply. The Ramah says, an interesting thing, he says also, it doesn't make a difference if she saw kesem or regular Ria. Everything, all these achakas is always going to be negeya. The Ramah says is that when she is Bimei Libuna, which is the Zayin Nikim, then he says there's no Isser Achila Bekaira Achas. We said that there's an Isser, generally, to eat from the same plate. But that's one of the Hachakas. So he says, Zok Ramah, that some say that there's that when she's Zayin Nikim, you're allowed to eat on the same plate. But then he says, V'yesh L'Hachmer at the end. The Shach brings where this Mekar is from. And he says the whole thing's a major toys. It's a major mistake. And he said the only time that they were matir to eat Bekara Achas was like this. Why are they all of a sudden Zion came? Well, why this one thing you're allowed to eat from Kaira? Everything else is Noig, but Kaira Achas, to eat from the same Kaira as Mutter. What's up, Shad? So he says that because we want, you already had so many days not with our Chakas, and she's ready to Zion Nikim, it's getting to the end. We want her to be interested in making the Tircha of going to the Mikvah. So therefore, what we're doing is that we're trying to increase a little bit of Chiba, so she'll feel like, okay, I want to go to the Mikvah. Now, if you're completely, I can't look at you, and I can't smell you, and I can't pass things to you, and nothing, and we can't do anything, you know, she's not going to feel as cozy, you know, going to the Mikvah. But here, when, you know, we allow something, we allow the Kaira Achas in order to increase it. So he says that really this is a big tayus, and the only time that they were matter this was the last day of Zion Nikim. First day of Zion Nikim, second day, you still have a whole week, you can't play around. But the last day of Zion Nikim, then he says they're matter. And usually you don't see this, the Shach says this, that to Paiskim who are talking about this, he says that Paiskim who are talking about this, Yesh Lidroish Barabim, the Isura Ka'avid. You have to tell everybody, so I shouldn't really have told you that, but he said that you have to tell everybody that this is completely usur the entire time. The Ramah brings the Yeshayim that says that there's a kula, but he says that the Ramah himself says Yesh LaHachmer, and then the Shach says that this whole thing is really a big tayus. The only heter really is the last day of Zion Nikim, and he says even that.
No modern nidos for bring that down.
Why?
This is really not.
Yeshayim and the Ramah is usually with Paschalite.
Well, he says Yesh LaHachmer at the end, so not always, you know, but. Here it's very clear, and the Paiskim are very clear, that this is not a heter. We cannot go around doing this. This is really a very strong... Huh?
What does the Mishnah Berurah say on that?
No, not Mishnah Berurah.
It's annoying. Don't do it. Get your own place.
So, okay, so then we have like this. Let's say he's sick. Right? He's a chayla, and he has nobody to help him out at home.
Just let him die.
So he's a chayla. So is she allowed to, you know, not do the harchakas in order to help him out? You know, he needs to eat. He needs to be taken around. Maybe he has to be helped in and out of bed. You know, whatever it is. So can she help him with that? So the mechaber says that if there's nobody else to do it, then she's allowed to do it. Except he says that she should really try not to wash panavyad and raglav. There's a special chiba for Harchatz's part of Yadav Raglav, and making the bed, so he smita b'fan of also making the bed right in front of him, so that you shouldn't do. Let's say the other way around. Let's say Nisha is a chayla. So is there any reason why anything would be different? So from what we know already, and the Yisai that we see a lot of times throughout the Harchatz, is that we're really not nervous so much about her. She's trusted. The problem is you. You're the problem. We don't trust you. So, huh? So, yes, that's really the problem. He's margalola her, she's not margalola. So if he's sick, there's much less of a chashash, because he's sick. You know, he doesn't have any kayach. But if she's sick, we still have a problem with him, because he's going to get all these ideas. So for her, it's a lot more chamer. So if she's a chayla, so really he says that it's really a problem. And I saw even in the svarim that the Paiskim that we have in our days, you know, they put out Sfarim. So it says, I've seen this Lashon saying that if she's sick and there's nobody else to help her, ask a Rav. That doesn't even talk about like what she's allowed, what he's allowed to do, what she's allowed, because it's a real, yeah, what?
She's feeling well.
What, she's not feeling?
She's going to push him off, she's not feeling well.
Okay, but we're nervous. We're afraid that he's going to, you know, he knows what to say. So,
you don't love me.
So he says really the halacha is that he's not allowed
all the secrets out.
He's not really allowed to touch her and do anything like this, but the Ramah says that if she really, really needs him, then he can do certain things. So exactly what's mutter, what would not be mutter, that's already you have to ask a Rav. This is not something that we can, you know, really discuss too much here. So then the the obvious thing here is that the lady that's giving birth. right? She's a chayla. And so the husband's, you know, most of the time there. And what is he allowed to do for her? So first of all, over there, it's a lot more chamer because his nurse is around. You know, let's say she really wants him to hold her hand or to, you know, whatever it is that she wants him to do to help her. You know, she's not allowed. He's not allowed to, you know, anything with her chakas, she's not really allowed to do. I saw an interesting shayla that one time, let's say, it's a lady that's psychologically unstable, and the doctors say that if the husband doesn't, you know, all the psychiatrists say that the husband doesn't, you know, face hold her hand or, you know, rub her back, whatever it is that she's going to have a real psychological, you know, real problem, and she might not recover. So then, is he allowed to do it in that case? So that was a shayla. So really, the reason why the Rama is matir in certain cases over here is when because the only iser, the araisa, is a touching of chiba. If the touching here is not chiba, it's just to help, or it's not chiba. You're not doing it for alts chiba. You're doing alts, you know, to help her out or something else. So then that's why that's only in iser derabanan. So once you're in the realm of Isid Isur Derabanan and the Makam that she's a Chayla Shem Sakana, we find a lot of times that a Chayla Shem Sakana, especially when it comes to Hilchah Shabbos, when it comes to Chayla Shem Sakana, Isur Derabanan, we're much more makel about. Isur Derais are always Aser. But Isur Derabanan can be makel. So too over here by Nida, when you have only Isur Derabanan, you have a Chayla, even if she's a Chayla Shem Sakana, there's reasons why we can be matter certain things. And again, you know, these things, you know, have to be asked the Rav, and you know exactly what's allowed, what's not allowed. Okay, so this was basically finish up Harchakis, and then we'll move on to new sugya next week.